Good morning and welcome to Ballyhenry. I have to follow the routine because that's what he says every Sunday. But you're very welcome this morning, and especially if you're with us for the first time in a long while, we make you very welcome. If you're a visitor, we also make you welcome. And if you join us by Zoom or later by the CD or video, we trust that God will bless you as he has promised to bless us as we meet together. I should tell you this is Sunday the 24th of April, just to make sure you know exactly what Sunday it is. But we come together to worship and to praise God this morning. Can I remind you of just one or two announcements? First of all, if you are someone who purchases the Herald, they're available this morning in the entrance hall of the church. Please take your copy with you today. And also I remind those who join us in fellowship groups on Wednesday evening, we're meeting as usual, and you should receive some information about that in the coming days. And they'll meet at their normal times on Wednesday evening. And we trust that God will lead us and guide us into these next weeks of our study groups. And then, God willing, our services next Sunday. And all the other programs will run as normal as announced. Well, we come to worship. And we've been listening to a beautiful song as we've begun this morning. It was finished upon the cross. And we're going to sing that together as a fellowship this morning. We'll stand and praise God. It's a beautiful piece which just sums up the whole message of Easter and the joy that because Christ is risen, The sting of death has been drawn, and we have peace and we have hope in the Lord Jesus. Let's join together in prayer. Let's all pray. Gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you again this morning that we can meet together as your people to worship and to praise you. We rejoice in your love for us, demonstrated most fully in the sending of your Son into the world. And Lord, at this Easter season, we have been remembering the fact that he paid the price of our sin. And in paying it, he journeyed to death. But from death, he was risen again and is now in your presence, seated at your right hand. And because of him, we are privileged this morning to come together, to bring our prayers, to bring our adoration, to bring our thanksgiving for all that you have done for us and for all that you have provided for us in these days. We praise you. Lord, this morning we ask that you will draw close to each of us. Encourage us in yourself. Give us that fresh vision of all that the Lord has done and of that love that he has expressed in dying for us. We especially remember this morning those who are unable to join with us. We think of those who will join with us through through Zoom and also through the CDs. We pray that you will surround your people with your presence and with your blessing. We also remember those who are unable to join us because of sickness and maybe times in hospital or in nursing homes. We ask that they too would know the comfort of your nearness, as you have promised to be all that we need in the midst of life. Lord, we thank you that your word reminds us that in the midst of our weakness, you are our strength. Lord, we rest upon you, and we pray your blessing upon us as we meet together in Jesus' name. Amen. It's lovely to see all the boys and girls. Did you all have a good Easter? Yes? Who's fed up eating Easter eggs? Not a soul. Not a soul. We all got lots of Easter eggs, did we? Yes, one or two anyway, and probably all eaten unless they've been hidden away so that they'll be brought out in due course. Who goes back to school tomorrow? Who's looking forward to that? Mums and dad, are you looking forward to it? You can put your hand up, yes. Yes, it's nice to have been off for Easter and especially to have some good weather that we can all get out and enjoy it. But I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Have you ever lost anything? Come on. Any of the boys and girls lost anything? What did you lose? Shout it out. His what? Oh, his Pokemon cards? Oh, that's disaster indeed. Anybody else lose anything? Right, boys and girls, listen to this. Can I ask if any of the adults have ever lost anything? Oh, one or two. Who have lost their glasses? One or two. Who have ever lost their keys? Yeah, we all go there, don't we? We all go there. There's a Bible story in the book of Luke which talks about three lost things. The first is the story of a lady who lost a coin. Has anybody ever lost money? Wouldn't you rather give it away than lose it? It's the most frustrating thing to lose. It's even better when you find money you put away in a pocket and you didn't know you had. But you know, it's this lady lost a coin. It was a very precious coin because it was one that was probably given to her just before she married. It was a gift from her family. And it was so precious that when she realized it was lost, what did she do? She lit a candle, the Bible tells us, and she brushed the whole house until she found it. And then she had a party because of what was lost was found. And the second story of a lost thing was about a lost sheep. And about the shepherd who had counted out a sheep and found that there was one that was missing. And the Bible tells us that he left all the other sheep and went looking for that one lost sheep. And he searched high and low until he eventually found it and he carried it home safely. And the third story that Jesus told together was a story of a lost son. Mums and dads, have you ever lost any of your children? Come on, be honest. We all have at some point. We were on Wednesday with our daughter and her boys down on Port Stewart Strand. I can tell you, for 20 minutes, the world stopped because Joshua went into the, he's the oldest of the boys, went into the sand dunes, and he went one way and we went the other. And the lifeguards were looking for him, his mum was looking for him, and I was looking for him until he was eventually found. And every time you shouted his name, he just disappeared a little bit further. So he was intending to get lost, but he was glad to be found eventually. Losing a son. This father lost a son, not in the sense that he actually lost him. This son decided to go away. He wanted a whole life for himself until eventually he realized that life was better at home and that he missed his father and he missed his father's love and he missed his father's care, and he came back and he asked to be one of his father's servants. And he said, no, you're not going to be one of my servants. You're going to be my special son. You know, it's easy to lose things. A friend of mine gave me this some time ago. Anybody got a key ring this size? Listen to what it says. If you lose this, you are dumb, stupid, careless, irresponsible, unreliable, and keyless. Needless to say, I don't carry around this in my pocket. It's actually used as my mouse mat at my computer, and I often lose it as well. But you know, it's easy to lose things, but isn't it wonderful to find them? And the Bible talks, or Jesus tells that story to tell us about himself and what he came to do. Jesus said he came to seek and to save that which was lost, because every single one of us is precious to God. And he loved us so much that Jesus came into the world so that he would become our Savior and our special friend, someone who would care for us, look after us, and love us. And Jesus has no desire to lose us, and he wants us to come as we are and trust him as our Savior and as our friend. Isn't it good to find that which is lost? It's hard when we lose something, but Jesus loves us, and he wants to keep us close to himself and to care for us every day. I hope, boys and girls, mums and dads, we have been found by Jesus, and that we're trusting him as that great shepherd, that great friend who looks after us. We're going to sing a song together, and it's called Lost and Found. Laura, isn't that right? Yeah. So let's sing it together.
So, but one got lost inside a deep ravine and didn't know how to get home. The shepherd saw the one who'd strayed and wouldn't rest till he could say, what once was lost is found. Raise up a joyful sound. Just
What I didn't tell you in the story with the boys and girls was the fact that I did lose my keys for almost 6 months. And I blamed my wife, as we all do, don't we? In reality, I found them on the top of a drill, which I rarely use, in the garage. And I think I know how they got there, but it was down to me, not my wife. And I made her empty all the bins and everywhere I thought she might have put it. So it's an easy thing to lose things. But let's come together in prayer. Let's all pray. Loving Father, as we come before you this morning, we have been reminded that those that were lost are found in the love of the Lord Jesus. And we thank you again that you sought us and called us to yourself. But as we come together this morning, our thoughts are turned to those situations of need, those challenges which the world is facing at this moment in time, and the situations closer to home in our families, and also in our country. And Lord, you are the only one that we can turn to, because you are the one who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and end of all things. And in you we trust. Lord, in these past days, our hearts have been saddened at the pictures and the news that we've been listening to from around the world, and particularly, Lord, in Ukraine. And this morning again, we remember all of those in difficult and challenging situations. We particularly remember those in Mariupol this moment in time, as they face so uncertain days and as they face the might of a Russian army. We pray, Lord, that you will bring comfort and strength at this time. We pray for your servants witnessing in the midst of it, and particularly at this time of Easter, as normally that country would be celebrating Easter this Sunday. We pray that the hope and the peace of the Lord Jesus would move across that land. We pray for those engaged in missionary service, even in the midst of the most challenging of situations, that you will give a word and give them and the enabling to bring a word in season for yourself. Give wisdom to our world leaders and our politicians who engage in this situation. Again, as we have prayed in the past, we remember President Putin. Lord, that you will speak into his life and remind him, indeed, if he needs to be reminded, that he is a God to face. And indeed, Lord, we pray that you will bring ease in this situation and bring peace, a settlement that will meet all of the needs of those people. We think of those many displaced people around the world who have, because of conflict and war, have found themselves leaving home and family behind. We think of the many who are living in Northern Ireland, even at this time, with such an uncertain future. We pray that you will be their strength. And in the midst of that, Lord, where there's an opportunity to witness, may we share that good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for this United Kingdom, and we pray for our politicians. And we have seen so much going on in these past months that leave us without confidence. But we pray, loving Father, that you will guide and direct the affairs of our nation. And particularly, Lord, here in Northern Ireland, as we move towards an election, We ask that you will give wisdom in all that is said and all that is done, and that evil men will not prosper in the midst of all that is happening. Guide us in our decisions in the coming days, and bless this land of ours. We thank you for the freedoms that we have, the opportunities to share that good news. Lord, may it never be restricted. So lead us and guide us as a people in these days. We pray for our church, and we thank you for the opportunity of fellowship with our moderator just over a week ago. We pray for him and his wife Zoe as they travel to Portugal, that you'll be with them there as they share with the Cochranes and engage with the work of your kingdom in that country. Loving Father, we pray for the work of mission across this island. We remember the work of the Council of Mission in Ireland, and we pray for its engagement in varied situations. We pray for those engaged in mission in the north of Ireland. We pray for those engaged in mission in the Republic of Ireland. We think of those new churches that are being founded, fellowships that are being developed. We pray, Lord, that you will guide and direct in the witness of your church. We pray for those engaged in mission overseas, not only with our own denomination, but those engaged in various parts of the world. We think of those working with Wycliffe and the precious opportunity of translating your word and being able to share it with folk in their own languages. We pray for those in the work with ECM and EMF working throughout Europe. And we think of our partnership in Hungary. And we ask there too, as Nigel and his wife Antonia prepare to travel there as part of our mission engagement with that church. Lord, this morning, there are so many areas that we should be praying for. Lord, you know those burdens that are upon each of our hearts this morning, those family members, those individuals within our community that we know and we've been praying for. Loving Father, we lift them up before you. But we also pray for ourselves. And you know our lives and you know our individual needs at this time. We pray, Lord, as we rest upon you and upon your strength, that you will be, as your word tells us, a very present help, not only in the times of trouble, but in every and all situations. Lord, guard and guide and direct the witness of this church in these days, and bless us as your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to read from God's word this morning. If you have your pew Bible, it's page 1061. It's Luke chapter 24, Luke chapter 24, and reading from verse 13, a familiar portion of God's word. We're going to read just a little section of this. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still and their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleophas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have been happening in these days? "What things?" he added. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death. They crucified him, and we had hoped that he was the one that was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early in the morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of the angel who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they didn't see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." Ending there at verse 27, and we thank God again for his word this morning. We're going to sing another praise before we turn and look at this passage. And it's the prayers, I cast my mind on Calvary. Team for leading us in worship again this morning. The week before Easter, I had the opportunity to meet with a friend that I haven't seen for almost 2.5 years because of COVID. He was here in Northern Ireland for a week from London, and I wasn't able to organize any meetings for him, which I normally would have done. But he was here visiting a number of groups that remember his work and prayer. He works for Jews for Jesus. His name is Ziggy Rogoff. He's quite an interesting character, himself a Jew, but a Jew that has met with Jesus and his life was transformed. So we had the opportunity of meeting for lunch, and we sat and we chatted about the work and what was he was involved in, and he's just a young father, and he talked about his children, and what just a very pleasant conversation. Then he asked me the question, what will you be preaching about over Easter? And I began to tell him where I was preaching and what I would be preaching for, and then he started to take it apart and ask me questions. And I have to tell you, he challenged me on many, many ways about what I was saying, particularly as him coming from a Jewish background. But one of the things that he challenged me about more than anything was, he said, read your passages again that you're going to preach from. Read them as if it's the first time you became aware of what was happening. And try to put yourself in the position of those that were seeing the unfolding events of the Easter story. Because we have the privilege of looking back into that situation. We know the end from the beginning. We know how the story is going to end. But as we read of the disciples and their experience, they were taking one step at a time. And they were seeing things unfold before them, and they were trying to grasp what was happening at that moment and make sense of it. And never more so than on this resurrection morning, the context of which is this story. We have two individuals, one who is named, the other is unnamed. And they had left Jerusalem. They had left Jerusalem just shortly after the woman had come back and told them that the tomb was empty and that the angels had told them that Jesus was risen. And also the two disciples, Peter and John, had gone and found the tomb empty and come back and said, "We haven't seen Jesus." And so these two individuals left Jerusalem and headed back down home, down the Emmaus Road. And it was there we see the story unfolding. Because these two individuals express in many ways the whole experience of the disciples as they were in Jerusalem. And the first thing that we note about these men was their disbelief in the risen Christ. We're told that as they went down to Emmaus, they, like the other disciples, believed that the story that the woman had brought was simply a tale. The Greek word that's used here is the word lerios, which we have the word delirious derived from, which means that this was a story that was made up, and they were overexcited women telling something or trying to express something that had overwhelmed them at this moment. Jesus couldn't be risen. Jesus couldn't be risen. It's simply a tale. These men, as they walked down to Emmaus, had that in their mind. They couldn't believe that Jesus was risen. In many ways, they were totally discouraged and disappointed as followers of Jesus to this point. And then we see these two encountering the risen Christ. Not in a way that they actually knew who he was. The scripture says that he hid himself from them. But he drew alongside, and the passage says, he came near, which is a lovely phrase, to say that he just came alongside them, and he was there for a purpose. And he talked with them about all that was happening. And they were staggered at the thought that here was a man who had been in Jerusalem and didn't know all about what had happened in the week before, that Jesus had been taken, he had been arrested, he had been tried, he had been crucified, and he was in the grave. Here is a wonderful picture, even just as Jesus came near, a wonderful picture of God's grace in action. Because as we see Jesus coming near, here is a picture of what the Lord does with each and every single child of God during our lives. He comes close. He comes close to express his love and to share with us the grace and mercy of God, even in the midst of the doubts and unbelief of these disciples. Jesus was concerned to come alongside them and walk with them. You know, every single one of us, probably at some point in our lives, have experienced the presence of God drawing alongside us, speaking to us, reminding us of his love and his mercy for us. For us, it's the story of God, of Jesus dying and rising again and taking upon himself the burden of our sin. And for those who have experienced that, for many have trusted in Jesus Christ. And if you're one amongst that group, you rejoice in that hope and that joy that comes from the Savior. But there are many, many who have rejected that presence of the Lord in their lives, opening up to them the knowledge that they need to trust in him. Here, Jesus came alongside his disciples to make a reality in their lives that Christ was risen. And then we see these dejected disciples beginning to share with the risen Christ. They share the story of Jesus, to Jesus. But there's one little phrase in verse 21 that sums up their experience. It said, "We had hope." We had hope. All for them, all the future seemed as if it was planned out in their mind. Here was Jesus, the one that they had lived with, walked with, listened to, one that they had watched perform some of the most powerful miracles. And now he was dead. They relegated him to a prophet because they thought he was going to be the Messiah. He was the one that was going to set them free. Sadly, they had the wrong picture of Jesus. They saw him as one who was mighty in power, one who would take the throne of David in a military sense, and not in terms of the spiritual kingdom that he would eventually establish. And then to add to that, the woman came and said that the tomb was empty and Jesus had risen from the grave. So the angel said. And at that point they couldn't take any more, and they upped and left Jerusalem and traveled home. Disappointed, dejected disciples. We had hope. You know, hope is a very, very precious thing in all of our lives. We are always looking forward, aren't we? We are hopeful for the future, for our families, for ourselves, for our country. Hope. But when hope is dashed, we spiral into a dark place. But the wonderful thing is that in the midst of that darkness, we have a precious Savior who comes alongside. So we see these disciples sharing the story of Jesus, sharing their hopes and their aspirations that had been dashed. But then we see the disciples being encouraged by Jesus. He begins to take apart the scriptures before them. He says, "Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" And Jesus unfolds the scripture from beginning to end. He draws out that scarlet line that ran through scripture, where blood needed to be shed for the remission of sins. He begins with Moses and shows it right through to the coming of Christ. How that God fulfilled his promise. For Moses, God gave to him a hope of a promised land, hope of freedom. To the prophets, we're told that he gave to them pictures of hope in the midst of being overwhelmed. The entire Bible is about hope in the midst of despair. The entire Bible ultimately points to the resurrection, to where relationships can be reconciled between God and man. The whole of Scripture looks to the future, looks to the future where sinful mankind will be drawn into the family of God. And it is all possible because Jesus bled and died on a cross, but not only that, that he conquered death itself and darkness and defeated Satan. And he brings us that message of hope, that message of love, that message of peace. Peace in a troubled world. So as these disciples find themselves in a dark place, Jesus begins to unravel the hope of Scripture, to inspire their hearts and to encourage them. Now, Christian friends, when we are in a dark place, where do we go to? Where do we seek our hope and our encouragement? Can I encourage you to go to God's Word? To look again to the promises of Scripture, which are many and hundreds of them, particularly relevant for the people of God, that in the midst of our weakness, we will know His strength, that He is our rock, our fortress, our defender, our keeper, our master, our captain, the lover of our soul. Let's turn to God's Word and find in Him hope, because He alone is our hope in a dark place. And then we have this wonderful picture as the disciples see the risen Christ. He intended to go further, or at least that's what it seems in Scriptures. And these two disciples said, no, the day is far spent. Come and sit with us and talk a little bit more. They sat together, and we know the story, where they shared together in a meal, and Jesus took the bread and he broke it, reminiscent of that meal in the upper room where he broke bread with his disciples. And we're told in an instant, their eyes were opened, they saw him for who he was, and he disappeared. The Scriptures tell us that those disciples, as they sat and they talked, they said, did not our hearts burn within us? Did not our hearts burn within us? Because as Jesus opened the Word of God, as Jesus came close to them, there was something moving in their hearts and lives. And it only became a full reality when Jesus revealed himself to them, that he was the one sufficient for all their needs. He was the one who was strength to their life. What was their response? Well, we're told that immediately they returned to Jerusalem. They'd already made a 7-mile journey towards Emmaus on foot. Now they made a hasty return to Jerusalem, filled with hope. What was changed? The fact that Jesus had entered into their lives, they had seen the risen Christ, and Jesus had become hope for them. Jesus had entered into their lives. There's an old chorus that said, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart." And that was the experience of these disciples. They were broken individuals. They were downcast. They were depressed. But when Jesus came alongside them, and when the reality of who he was came to fruition before them, they were changed. These broken individuals now belong to Jesus. You know, the resurrection of Jesus is central to all that we believe and all that we teach, because he is risen. We are privileged to enjoy life. Life to its fullest. Life in terms of eternal life, as we trust in God. When that amazing grace of God comes along and walks with us in the person of Jesus, our lives are changed and transformed. How were they transformed? Well, and how were these disciples transformed? Well, we're told that they returned with speed to the upper room, and they entered in and they explained all that happened, what they had seen, what they had heard, what they experienced. And in that moment, we're told that Jesus came in the midst of them. His first phrase to them is, "Peace be with you." He sought to ease their anxiety. And then we're told that he showed them his hands and his feet, and he ate with them. But you know what's powerful? As Jesus sat with his disciples, he turned to them and he said, "You are witnesses to these things. You are witnesses to these things." Not "will you be witnesses," or "please be witnesses," or "consider being a witness." He simply said, "You are witnesses to these things." That's a challenge that none of us can escape from. Because as followers of Jesus Christ, for those who've experienced his grace and peace in our lives, we are called to be witnesses to his death, to his resurrection, and to the new life that he gives to men and women who trust in him. Witnesses to a broken world that needs a savior. These disciples' lives would never be the same again. The one who was promised had come. The one who was prepared to journey to the cross had now risen. The one who paid the price of sin now sets us free to tell others that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the message that we have to bring to a broken world, there is one who makes all things new. Christian friend, this morning, look again at the story of Easter. Experience the doubt, the bewilderment of the disciples, but experience their joy as they meet with the risen Christ and all their hopes and aspirations are fulfilled in one who was promised and had come. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the opportunity of turning to your word. And we thank you for the experience of the disciples who in many ways are forerunners for each one of us, who encounter the risen Savior where they are. And the challenge comes to their lives to trust and believe. And as they trust, to go forward and to be witnesses of all that the Lord has done. Lord, we pray this morning that we indeed would be faithful witnesses to your love and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing together our closing praise, and it's a beautiful piece, "And Can It Be?"
For me.
Let's join together in prayer. Loving Father, we thank you for being with us this morning. As we go from this place, we pray that you will journey with us. We pray again that your grace, your mercy, and your peace will be our blessing today and forevermore. Amen.